Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, this is day 4 in our 7-day series. My name is Steve Clark. And what we've been looking at is being real in the sight of God, having no pretense, having no hypocrisy. We looked at the judgment, or we looked at what God says is going to happen in the last days. We looked at that in 2 Peter, how in the last days, perilous times will come. And in the last days, there's going to be a judgment from the Lord. And the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And it says that in 2 Peter there, chapter 3, it says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then verse 11, 2 Peter 3:11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all the works, all the earth, all the elements, going to be dissolved by fire, and seeing that these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So that's the burden of the message here these days, and it's to have us take inventory, and that we would be right in the sight of God, that there would be no hypocrisy, there'd be no pretense, there'd be no sham. And see, some of it is done without knowing it. And this is the terrifying part, is many people don't know it. And that's like this verse that I just quoted out of Matthew chapter 7, 3 verses here, where many will say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus, but he says, I never knew you. Well, they thought that he would not know them. They thought they knew him, and they were doing many wonderful works in his name. They were casting out devils and doing many things in his name. And so it seems very strange that they're going to be cast aside. They're going to be put away, and they think they're right. They think they're right in the sight of God. We looked at the Church of the Laodiceans. That's what we ended with yesterday. The Church of the Laodicean. How, you know, here they thought they were rich and in need of nothing. But Jesus said that they were poor, blind, naked, and whatever else he said there. It was just the opposite of what they thought themselves to be. And it's the same way here in this case in Matthew chapter 7, where these people are calling Jesus Lord, but they're not, Jesus isn't the Lord of their life. They're working iniquity, it tells us here. So we're taking inventory of our lives, and we're going to be looking at some practical things. How can we test ourselves to see if we really do know the Lord? And I have some things I'll be sharing in the next few days. But today what I'd like to do is I want to look at some of the parables that Jesus told, and that we would consider some of them. These are examples of the difference between the real and the false. Those who possess the real thing and those who only profess that they know Christ, just like these people here calling him Lord, Lord. And there's so much in Scripture like that, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where people were deceived. They were walking in hypocrisy, some of them. They were like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and how they, you know, they believed that they were right on, but we can see that they were really way off, because Jesus said some very strong words to them Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and who shall deliver you out of hell, or however he said it there, or something? How can they escape the damnation of hell, is what he said there, Matthew 23, I believe it is. So here's the parables, some of the parables. These are just some examples. Again, it's for those who possess the real thing, and those shows the difference between those and those who profess, only profess to know. And think about the parable of the sower. You probably know the story where the sower went out to sow, and he spread the seed, and some fell on the pathway and got trampled underfoot. Some seed fell in the stony places, and some seed fell in the thickets where the weeds were growing, and some seed fell on good ground. Well, of course, the good ground, and this is the word of God coming forth to people, and it says that they joyfully received it, some of these people, they joyfully received it, but when the sun beat down on them, the seed that was sown on the pathway, it just didn't do well, and some of the other seed got choked out with the cares of this world, people who have their hearts in the world, in the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word. And so this would be those who profess, but they don't have the real thing. That seed on the good ground would be the seed that possesses the real thing. So that's the first parable as an example. The second one that I'd like to show or talk about is the two sons. You can find that in Matthew chapter 21. The sower, by the way, is Matthew 13 or Mark 4 or Luke 8. Three different gospels have the parable of the sower. But the two sons is in Matthew 21. And this is where the father asks the sons to go out and work for him. And he asks the first one, and he says, this first son says, no, I won't go. I'm not going to go to work in the field today. But then later, he repented, and he went and worked. The second son said, oh, I'll go. But then he didn't go. And Jesus asked the people he was talking to, he says, which one did the will of the Father? Well, it's the one that repented and actually went. So this example shows us those who possess the real thing, this one who repented and did the Father's will. And then the other one was just a voice. He said he was going to do it. He professed something. He professed to go, just like these people that call Jesus Lord, Lord, but they're still walking in their iniquity. They're not living by what Jesus' commandments are. And Jesus said, I never knew you, to them. So that's the second parable. The third one would be the wedding garment. And I'm not sure how this man got into the wedding supper or wedding feast there, but he didn't have the garment on. And the wedding garment on. And I don't understand all the cultural implications of this, but the message here is very simple. He wasn't the real thing. And he actually was told, or they... In the parable, it's told that he should be taken out and thrown into the fire or whatever. It wasn't just you can't come in or you try to come in the right way. It was, you're in here the wrong way and you have to, there's judgment coming. Another parable would be the 10 virgins. You know the story probably there. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. And so here we have those 5 that were ready, they actually possessed the real thing. But those who weren't ready, they were just professors or professing something, but it wasn't the real thing, and they were cast aside. The story of the talents, the parable of the talents and the pounds, similar stories, talents and the pounds, Matthew 25 and Luke 19, where they hid their portion that they had, or that was given to them, they hid it in the ground. They didn't do anything with it. And the outcome of that wasn't good. They he was severely judged. So we need to be real. We need to be honest and true and not just think that we're right or, you know, and hide what God has given us. So all of these parables, it's just amazing how they bring out the same story, many different parables, the same application. And it's not just the parables, but it's Jesus' teaching. And it's what he said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the hypocrites, as we looked at yesterday. But there's more parables. The two builders, the builder that built his house upon the rock and the builder who built his house upon the sand. Both those structures probably look good. Even the sandy man's house maybe looked better, and he probably got it up a lot faster. But he wasn't building on the right foundation. He wasn't obeying the scriptures. He wasn't obeying the commands of Christ. That's what Jesus said. He that hears my word and obeys it is the one who is building his house on the rock. And then there's, and that was, I don't know if I gave you the reference, that's Matthew 7 or Luke 6. But also the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. Here the goats, they couldn't understand why they were being judged so severely or why they were going to be punished so severely, because they thought they had done things that were right. But he said, well, you never gave me meat to eat or drink to drink. You didn't come and visit me in prison, all these different things. Well, when didn't we do that? Well, when you didn't do it to the least of these people. So the story's the same, or the moral of the story is the same, I guess. Different examples. And then the rich fool who wanted to tear down his barns and build bigger ones, and Jesus said, well, you fool, you know, you don't know that your life is going to end tonight, and here you're making all these plans. But it's very clear there, it's still the same message here. He was in it for wanting to eat, drink, and be merry. It wasn't that he was in it to serve Christ with all that he had. So these all bring out the difference between the reality and the unreality, those who possess and those who only profess. So that's a little bit what I wanted to share here tonight or today. There's an imitation or a counterfeit for almost every grace or action a true Christian should have. And there are plenty of these examples from the Bible also. The unreal repentance we have in the story of Esau, and also Saul, King Saul, the Old Testament, Ahab, Herod, Judas. There's unreal faith, Simon the sorcerer, and even the devils who believe, but they tremble. They're not willing to obey God. They believe in God. They know that God is real, so they have a belief, but they're not willing to obey. And there's also a fake holiness. This would be an example, would be Judas, when he said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, he didn't care about the poor. He was a thief, the Bible says. But here he was thinking that, you know, he was making a show of it, that he was holy. You know, why shouldn't we do this and give it to the poor? And even not a true love. Let us not love in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That would be in 1 John, I believe, chapter 3. And then in Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be without dissimulation. And the word dissimulation means without hypocrisy, without pretense, just to be genuine. And then there's the pretend humility. Colossians calls it a show of wisdom in will worship and humility. And many of these things, praying with the wrong motives, worship that isn't sincere, words without right actions, tears, but tears for the wrong reason, not not because of what God has, what their relationship with God is, but because maybe they got caught in doing something bad, and so they feel bad about themselves and they have tears. And even in fasting and giving, and I could give examples for all of these, but I think we're going to close with that tonight. We're going to continue on, though, and we're going to be looking at these things in the next message. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. And Lord willing, you can join again tomorrow.